Hi, my name is Alan from LRV Property. Welcome back to my YouTube channel. Singapore Public Housing System, managed by the Housing and Development Board, has long been a cornerstone of the nation's commitment to provide affordable housing for its citizens. However, in recent years, we have witnessed significant shift in the housing landscape, particularly in the HDB resale market. This video will examine the trend in HDB resale prices from 2020 to 2024 and analyze their implication on affordability for households across different income percentile, with a focus on the lower middle income group. This is a particular segment that is often left out in discussion. Only people like me will talk about the unheard voices in society. You see, I'm very steady one. Don't say I only talk about upgrading, making money from property investment and so on. Deep in my heart, I have a heart for the man on the street. And the best part, same as per my other videos, I got nothing to sell to you. Without further ado, let's head straight into the discussion. Between 2020 and 2024, HDB resale price experienced a notable upward trajectory. In 2024 alone, the resale price index increased by 9.6%, almost doubling the 4.9% rise observed in 2023. This surge marked the 19 consecutive quarters of price growth since quarter 2 2020. Driven by strong demand and limited supply. The number of million-dollar HDB resale transactions also doubled in 2024, with mature estates like Kallang, Whampoa, Toa Payoh, and Bukit Merah contributing significantly to this trend. As mentioned in my previous video, HDB built solid HDB BTO flats in prime area. Million-dollar HDB flats will continue in the foreseeable future. If I compare HDB resale price index back in 4th quarter 2020, just right after the last GE held in 2020, the RPI was only 138.1. Back in 4th quarter 2024, the RPI shot up to 197.9. This is a 59.8 difference between them, or the surge of 43%. Hold on, don't kanchong first. If income has increased in proportion to rising HDB price, this is still acceptable. This brings me back to the next segment. During the same period, household income in Singapore saw moderate growth. This is the household income for the bottom 10% to the top 90% of household income over the years. I have used data from 2020 to 2024 for our analysis. All the data are from the Department of Statistics. Don't say I anyhow talk hall. This one involves Singaporeans and the affordability to own their HDB flat. Don't play. For analysis, I will only use the bottom 10%, the 50% medium, as well as the top 90% for our assessment. Interesting figure as I've gone through the numbers. For the bottom 10%, their income was 2,200 per month back in 2020. It has gradually increased to 2,800 per month in 2024. This is a $552 per month difference, or the 24% increment. Take note, it is notable that some residents employ household in the lowest 10% own a car, employ a domestic worker, live in private property, or were with household reference person aged 65 years and over in 2024. In short, it means not all are poor folks. Some are retirees and not drawing an income. Anyway, for the median monthly household income from work rose from 9,001 in 2020 to 11,002 in 2024, representing a 23% increase after adjusting for inflation. As for the top 90% household, their income has rose from 24,000 to 29,000, or the 18% increment. By looking at the increase across the various income level, there are signs that Workfare Income Supplement Scheme, which is a government-led program designed to boost the earning and CPF saving of lower income workers, has helped to improve their household income. They are a good scheme in my opinion. They have helped to bridge the gap. However, I still have a concern. To assess affordability, I will use the price-to-income ratio, which compares the cost of a property to its annual household income. A lower ratio indicates greater affordability. A higher ratio indicates lesser affordability. Makes sense, right? I think this is one of the most straightforward approaches. If you have other methods, kindly share them with me. Let's use the lower 10% of income household. With an average monthly income of $2,800 per household, the average resale price of a 4-room HDB flat in Singapore is currently around $636,000 as of January 2025. Based on their annual income of $34,000, the price-to-income ratio is 19. Xiao liao lo. As for the 50% of household, they are drawing $11,000 per month. The price-to-income ratio is 5. This is a good reference point to make sense of all the ratio since it is measured based on the median household income. As for the top 10% income household, they are earning 29,000 monthly. The price to income ratio is 2. Here, what can we conclude? Well, as mentioned earlier, a lower ratio indicates greater affordability. The top 90% have no issue buying a HDB flat. However, a higher ratio indicates lesser affordability. Can we safely say that the bottom 40% and below fall under this group? On another perspective, can we assume that 40% of Singaporeans have some sort of affordability issue buying a HDB resale flat? If you are earning less than 10,000 in terms of household income, care to share your views here with me? The data suggests that lower middle income households are increasingly strained in affording HDB resale flats. The rapid appreciation in resale prices outpacing income growth exacerbate affordability issues. That is why HDB continued to ramp up BTO flats in 2025. And HDB is on track to deliver 100,000 flats from 2021 to 2025. However, in terms of HDB flat prices to any household income, it is very glaring to see that HDB RPI has risen by 43% during the same period. But household income has risen between 18 to 24% only. The big disparity between the rising price to income ratio between the different income groups has also emphasized this argument. Here, what does it mean for the lower to middle income household? If I use the household income to assess its mortgage service ratio, for the bottom 10%, they can only loan up to 157,000 or the maximum purchase price of 210,000. Seriously, at this level, there's nothing for them to buy. BTO, yes, but not for HDB resale flats. For the 50% percentile, they can loan up to 629,000 or purchase a flat with a maximum value at 839,000. While this group fare better, the escalating resale prices still pose challenges, especially for larger flats or those in mature estates. They don't even need to talk about upgrading to an EC. Even if you are the top 60% or 70% well within the income ceiling of 16,000 per month, you will still need papa mama financial help. Let's face it, in my opinion, if you're not even in the top 80%, you don't even need to talk about buying a private property. Sorry for my blunt words, but that is the hard truth. For the top 90%, bo meng tuay, they can easily borrow 1.62 million or purchase a HDB flat at a maximum value of 2.16 million. Frankly speaking, most of them will go for private condos at this kind of income level. Between 2020 and 2024, the HDB resale market in Singapore experienced significant price growth, while household income growth remained modest. This disparity has widened the affordability gap, particularly affecting lower to middle income households. From the chart, we can see that the lower middle income is struggling while the gap between the have and the have not has widened. That is why you have to be on the ground, just like me, to highlight such issues. If you are the very top 1%, how will you ever know? 对不对? At this junction, some may argue that HDB gives extra housing grant to lower income families. Well, we acknowledge that and appreciate these kind gestures. But isn't this the same as giving CDC voucher? The root cause of the housing problem has not been settled yet. The sudden increase in HDB flat prices in recent years remind me of the same spike from 2007 all the way to 2013. Back then, my favorite ex-minister, Khaw Boon Wan, stepped in to take over the housing portfolio in 2011. He gradually cooled the red-hot housing market. Don't say it's not possible. Anyway, to ensure equitable access to public housing, policymakers may need to take a very hard look at what is driving the demand for public flats and return public housing to its original core, affordability. That's all. Thank you for watching.